Today we begin a new sermon series called Small Church, Big Mission. And this is a series that we're starting at the beginning of the new year for a particular purpose. It's because the English service, this evening service, have been a relatively newer service, newer congregation. The official launch date, which started, was last year, April. And we call that like a little soft launch date. And then on September, a lot of you guys started to come because there were a small group that started at that time. So really, we only have been together for maybe 3 months, 4 months-ish. And if you count the soft launch from April, it's been maybe like 8 months to 10 months. And so the pastoral team elected to take this time as the beginning of the new year to maybe to share with us, and all of you are here, to share with you at a centralized time and location with everybody here, what do we do here as a church? What is something that we care about in this church? And hopefully, through this series, we can let you know. So we care about all these things, but what's your role in it? What's your role in it? And what's your role in this church? And I'd like to start off today by maybe not answering that question directly, but I'd like to start off with this. For the past year in 2022 and 2023, I've been listening to a podcast from CBC Radio where the show was a recap of all the scientific and technological advancements of 2022. And that got me thinking, wow, all these things have happened in the past year. We really live in a time, I don't know if you agree with me, live in a time, a golden age of science, golden age of technology. Here's what I mean. For the past 2 years, obviously we know this, we have been battling the COVID-19 virus. Did you know that vaccine for COVID-19 came out a year within the COVID-19, within the first outbreak of COVID-19. And the amazing thing about this is previously all the other pandemics, it took 4 years to get the vaccine out. And for some reason, because of our technology, because of our science, because of the great scientists and doctors around the world, we're able to speed this up 4 times. And we got all the shots in our arms. Not only that, this vaccine came with a new technology, mRNA. I'm not smart enough to understand what that is, how that is different. But it does something that previously other vaccines haven't been able to do. And this technology, mRNA, we can use it to cure other diseases and conditions as well. And so if you look at medications, just in the past year, 2022, and these are all the stuff that I heard from the podcast or from the news report, we're able to come up with a treatment that delays type 1 diabetes, and we were able to come up with drugs for type 2 diabetes. We had the first ALS drug in 5 years. We came up with a treatment for postpartum depression. And not only, you know, figuring out all these solutions to these problems, we are mapping out the human genome. And if I understood that article correctly, I think we are almost done mapping out the human genome, and that was from 2022. And so in a biological standpoint, in a human standpoint, in a human health standpoint, it seems like a lot of the problems that we're facing quickly had its solutions. All problems have its worldly solutions. And so it's not hard to project that if you continue on this trend, continue on this science trend, continue on this technology trend, what's going to happen is, well, you're going to have more and more people, and people are going to age more, you're going to have more elderly, so population is going to increase, there's going to be a higher demand for all kinds of services, and lo and behold, don't worry, because there's computer. There's AI. Again, I'm not smart enough to understand any of this, but there is this new platform called ChatGPT. It's supposedly pretty amazing. It can write your essay for you. It can write your resume for you. It can write your email for you. And when you read it, it's like, is this actually coming from a robot? And not only this AI, but there's so many other AIs coming out that I've heard in an article that there is an art-generating AI that supposedly you can ask it to create art in a specific style of an artist. I know there are some artists in here that are probably pretty mad about this. And supposedly, if I remember the article correctly, is one of those AI-generated art won an award. And so computer, they're going to help you write your resume, how you write your sermon. The ChatGPT didn't write my sermon. Help you do art, help you probably solve a lot of human problems, take care of elderly, take care of children, take care of all this kind of stuff. All problems will have its solutions. And so if you continue to project on, then that means humanity is going to live longer, we're going to have robots. And what ends up happening is you have a problem of energy. And in fact, that's something that we're dealing with right now. But fear not, because there's fusion. There's nuclear fusion. I'm not smart enough to understand any of this, but we know, or at least I read, that fusion could generate 4 times more energy than the fuel that we are generating with nuclear fission, which is from nuclear power plants right now. And it's supposed to be much safer, and it's 4 million times more energy than burning coal or oil. And I know this is only the one successful trial, but it's not hard to imagine that somewhere down the road, we can have some reproducible system to continue to create this clean energy. And so then if you continue to imagine on, all problems have its solutions and humanity keeps getting better and better and better, and then all the problems within this world is going to get solved. And so what you end up doing is you have to worry about problems from outside the world. And fear not, if you are ever afraid of anything hitting the planet, you have the NASA DART mission, the Double Asteroid Redirection Test. That was done in September 26th of 2022. Supposedly, you can send a missile out to outer space at an asteroid that's coming at you, and you can redirect it successfully. I know it was a small test, but it was a successful one nonetheless. And so if you continue to look at the outer space, continue to explore the worlds in the future, and then you realize that, hey, I want to look at what outer space is like, and fear not, you have the James Webb Space Telescope. It has already sent us a bunch of pictures in the past in July, and it tells us more about the outer space, about science, than we have ever had an opportunity to see before. It may even tell you what happened at the beginning of the universe. Eventually, all problems will have its solutions, all questions will have its answers, all needs will be met. And all this brings me to a question, a very important question. An age-old question that we should ask ourselves. The pastors always ask ourselves this question. And because you're here today, you should ask yourself this question as well. Now, the question is this. Well, why do we still need the church? Why does the world need the church? If all of humanity's problems have a solution, why do we need the church? If it was 1,000 years ago, maybe 2,000 years ago, I can give you that answer. Maybe in the Middle Age, the church was probably a solution for education. For education, people would come to learn, come to read, which was something that the church leaders would do so that people could read the Bible, could understand what the Bible is. But now you don't have to go to church to learn. You can go to college, you can go to education institutes, you have high school, you have the James Webb Space Telescope that can tell you much more about the science of creation than Genesis 1. And you have the Human Genome Project that tells you much more about biology than Genesis 2. And at some point, you don't even have to learn because you have AI. Why do we need the church? Church was a center of health, was a solution to health because, well, in the Middle Ages, there was no vaccine. So if people were sick, they would come to receive prayer and the pastors would pray for them. If you have mental struggles, mental health issues or mental health struggles, then the church leaders would pray for you or even cast out demons or evil spirits out of you. Now we don't need that. We don't need that. You have treatment for diabetes, depression. You have every single professional there is to every single problem that happens in your body. Why do you still need the church? Church was the solution for protection, to seek the divine God's mercy and protection. Now you have NASA, you have the missile that sends out to destroy stuff coming from outer space. You have missiles that shoot down other missiles. And you're now investigating technology that keeps you running on forever in this planet Earth. Why do you need the church? What problem is there that cannot be solved by science and technology that we need the church here to do? And so if all of this sounds too big, too grand, bring it back to planet Earth. Bring it back to here for a moment. Why do you need the church? Why do you need the church? Why do you need the church? Do you come here to be entertained? You have TikTok for that. You have movies for that. You have all kinds of social media apps that can keep you entertained for hours and hours and hours and hours. And if you're done with one, you can go to the other. If you're done with that one, you can go to Disney, you can go to Netflix, and then you can finally go out to the movie theater. Why do you need to come? Is it come to have dinner? We have dinner, but we don't have pho. We don't have Korean barbecue. We don't have 1+1 pork chop rice. Why do you come to church? To be healthier? Physically, mentally, psychologically, to be healthier? But you have fitness coaches for that. You have gym for that. You have psychologists for that. Is it to meet people? You come here to meet people. Well, you have social clubs for that. You have single events for that. You have dating apps for that. Is it to come to be inspired? Well, you have TED Talk. You have colleges. You go read a book. Go watch a documentary. Much more inspiring, don't you think? Is it coming to learn? Go to a seminary. Go to school. If I go to YouTube, why come here? Why do we need church? If all of humanity's problems can be met, there is a solution for them. And if all your needs can be met by some of these stuff, why are you coming here? Why do you need the church? The pastors and the staff want to share with you the answer to that question. And I hope that with the remaining short little bit of time, maybe I won't be able to fully convince you, but I really want you to take this to heart and see if you agree with this. What we believe, why do we need the church, is because the church is the hope of the world, and the hope of the world, the only hope in the world. And that is a shocking statement considering all of this stuff that's in the background. The church is the hope of the world. I can choose to give you 10 reasons and to give you all the Bible passages in this world to explain to you why we think the church is the hope of the world, but I'm not going to do that today. I'm going to paint you a picture. And this picture is one of the main reasons why the pastors here, the staff here, we do what we do, and hopefully is the reason why you come as well. And this picture, I didn't paint this picture. This picture is painted to us by the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul wrote a letter to the church in Ephesus. And in this picture, he describes a church community in this way. And this picture is found in Ephesians chapter 4 and chapter 5. And in this picture, there's three groups of people or three examples of people in this church that you can find. And the first person that you can find is a thief. Maybe you have met, do you know a thief? Have you met a thief? Maybe this thief, Apostle Paul says, in this church, this thief, maybe he's stealing out of need. Maybe he's stealing out of greed. Maybe he's stealing out of necessity, out of the circumstance, or maybe he's just downright lazy. He says, this thief, if he comes to church, he will no longer steal. Do you have any real solutions for a thief no longer stealing? Yes, you do. You have something called the prison. You put him in the prison, he can no longer steal. But Apostle Paul says, look at this picture. This thief that comes to church, he's not going to have to go to prison. He will stop stealing. But not only that, after he hears the word of God, he will know the purpose that he has. He will be around the disciples and he will work on his own. And he will start what? He will start doing honest work. He will actually start to find a job. Is there a solution for that? Yes, there is a solution for that. That's called rehab. But if you really look into the data of rehab, the success rate is questionable. Certainly can be improved. And plus, for a person to want to go to rehab, that means your prison has to work. You put him in prison, and in the prison, that person reflects, and he feels guilt, and he feels remorse over his life, and then now, I want to rehab, I want to start anew. But what if the thief does not feel that? Then what do you do with him? Apostle Paul's like, no, you don't have to worry about prison. Just bring him to church. And not only that, Apostle Paul says, this former thief, if you let him stay in the church for a while, spend time with people for a while, you know, connect with the disciples for a while, he will know what God's heart is and he will start to do what? He will start to share with people in need. How does that happen? For a thief to share, for a thief who takes things from people and then to give things to people, isn't that pretty amazing? Because like, think about this. Even for a normal person like us, we're not thieves. It's pretty hard for us to share things with people in need. Talk about how is a thief able to get to that point? Because this is not a change in action. This is not a change in an outward behavior. That means there's something in here that changed. There's a change in maybe values. There's a change in the worldview, a change in paradigm. There's a change in their whole life. That means there is some sort of maybe what you call compassion coming inside of them. Maybe love coming inside of them. And that motivates them to action. This is a new person. Apostle Paul says, look at this picture. That's what happens in a church. A thief will no longer steal, and he will start doing honest work. And not only that, he will share with people in need. Apostle Paul says, look at this picture again. There's the second person, second group of people, or maybe second example. You know those people that everything comes out of their mouth is like swear word? Everything that comes out of their mouth is hurtful talk. Everything that comes out, it's like a poison, venom that comes, just spills out of them. He says, you know these people? Maybe they are like plagued by anger and they're plagued by bitterness. They just have a bunch of rage in them. You know those people that have hurtful talk coming out of them all the time? He says, if you bring them to church, they're not going to talk like that anymore. Is there any word solution for that? Maybe you can tape his mouth. But what else can you do to change that? Because you're not just dealing with the mouth. You can tape it. He's going to take it off. And all this poisonous stuff is just going to keep spilling out. So you're dealing with something much deeper. Maybe the anger, the rage, and the bitterness that's in here. That's difficult. And Apostle Paul says, but I'm not done. Bring him to church. Let him spend time here for a little bit. What he's going to start to do, what comes out of his mouth is going to be praise and thanksgiving. He says, you're going to start to praise the Lord. He's going to start to give thanksgiving. He's going to start to have something that you never heard from him called gratitude. He says, oh, I'm so glad that X and X and X happened. He will start to see things in a new light, in a new perspective, not so focused on what the calamity that's focused on themselves happened to them. And he will start to be grateful. You have heard of that word before, grateful? You've never heard of it from this guy. Instead of complaining and swearing about everything else, he will be grateful. How does that work? Do you know any pill that fixes hurtful talk? Do you know any vaccines that can just cure all the bitterness and anger that you have in you? If there is such a vaccine, don't you want it and put it to your friend? Or maybe for yourself, don't you want it? But Apostle Paul says, no. It's not a pill. Come to church. And you see, I'm not done, because after he comes here for a bit, he will not only praise God and give thanks, he will start to, in fact, bless the people around him and build others up around him. And he's like, that's impossible, because see, if you want to bless people, that means there is something in here that is a blessing, that you have to be able to have something in here that comes out. Like a spring. Like previously, that spring was all dirt and gunk and filth. And now the source of spring is clean. And then all of a sudden, the water that's coming out is fresh water, is clean water. And you start to spill over the people around you. How does that happen? Do you know any treatment that treats bitterness? Do you know any vaccine that boosts gratefulness? Do you know any surgery that removes hurt from the past? Do you? Apostle Paul says, not vaccine, not surgery, just church. Apostle Paul says, look, I have one more example for you in this picture. Have you ever met a drunk card? A person that's drunk all the time, that just have a poor and broken addiction to alcohol or maybe whatever that they have taken to spend time with and to get their minds off of things, they're so broken. They're so broken. They don't know what to do with life. Maybe they were born into a broken family and their parents were also alcoholics and there was family violence in there and there's no education and there's no love in there. And so that this poor child is upbringing is, he has also developed an addiction of drinking or maybe drugs or maybe gambling or maybe prostitution, whatever. They have no clue what to do with their life. And then once they grew up, they met a man, met a woman, and they got married, and they have a kid. But it's just so broken that they inherited the brokenness of the previous generation. And then now it's just family violence. Everything is just a mess. Just a mess. What's the solution for a drunkard? What's the solution for family violence? Call the police. Social worker. Put the kid in foster care. Put them in counseling. But Apostle Paul says, don't do that yet. Bring him to church. He will stop drinking. He will be sober. And he will no longer be foolish. He will have a clarity of mind, and brothers and sisters will walk with him, keeping him accountable. And I just want to ask you, any world solution? Yes, there is a solution to stop drinking, but what about the people that don't want to stop? Even if they don't want to change, Apostle Paul says, just bring them here. God's gospel and good news will give them hope that they think they cannot be helped. God says, you can be helped. And not only that, Apostle Paul says, he will no longer just stop drinking. He will start to have wisdom, a sense of purpose, knowing what God's will for him is. And in fact, he's not going to be filled with wine all the time and alcohol all the time. He says he's going to be filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit. And he will start to know that just because he was born into a broken family doesn't mean he had to inherit the brokenness or stay in the brokenness. And he will start to know that God's plan for him is beyond the limitations that he was given in. And so previously he was purposeless, he was lost, and now he's hopeful, he's joyful, he's purposeful, this father or this mother. And what ends up happening is he will actually start to mend the relationship with the wife. Reconcile them, take the kid back home, start to love the wife instead of beating her, start to surrender, start to lay himself down, start to love the kid, bringing them up in gentleness and discipline, something that he's never received in the past. Leading the family, loving the family. How does that work? Because, see, even for a normal person, it's hard to get to here. How is it that just a completely broken man, broken human being, can get to there? How is it a person that can have their family, sort of like a traumatic family history, just gotten rid of or maybe dealt with? Is there any rehab that deals with trauma? Is there any rehab that deals with brokenness? Apostle Paul says, don't need to look at rehab. Just come to the church. And that's the picture that Apostle Paul paints us in the book of Ephesians. What do you think about this? What do you think? Like, are you convinced? Because you see, whereas there are some solutions in this world that can bring a person from brokenness to maybe what you call a normal or maybe mended, nothing can bring them back to here. That's impossible to do. But what if I told you that that's something that's happening in the church all the time? What if that's something that's happening to the church all the time? Do you want to come? Do you want to come? The process of a person going from just complete brokenness to almost, you can call them a new human, a new being. Do you want to come? Like, don't you want to see this? Like, if your parents struggle with this, don't you want them to be here? If your friends struggle with this, don't you? Like, if yourself struggle with this, don't you want them to come? And so at this point, we start to wonder then, What is this fourth column? There is a name for it. The Apostle Paul calls it new humanity. He explains it like this in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. He addresses the church and he tells them, you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, as the non-believers do, in the futility of their minds. That's not the way you learned Christ. And here is how he explains that process, that table. He says in verse 21, assuming that you, that church, have heard about Jesus and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, you put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. That is that first column, that just completely broken human being. Put that off, which is corrupt and which is deceitful. And how are you going to do that? It's because you have truth, because you have the gospel, because of what you do in the church. And he continues and says in 23, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. And here's the new. To put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. New self, new man, new humanity. Turns out it's not incorrect to call it a new humanity. It's right to call it a new man, a new creation, a new perfect human being. And that's a big deal. That's a big deal. From that first column to the fourth one, sometimes we hear all this new and old and new and old, and you have been in church for so long, and we start to tune this out. But what Apostle Paul is saying here, this is a big deal. This is how a little bit modern of an analogy might explain this. C.S. Lewis, he writes this in Mere Christianity, his book. He says, the difference between the old self and the new self is not just better person. It's not a nicer guy. It's a new person, a new man. And he's saying, it's like the difference between a dinosaur and a human being. Like, it's so different. You're not going to say a human being is a better version of a dinosaur. That's not how it happens. It's a new human being. And if that illustration fails you a little bit, I have a little bit of a more modern one. And it's an illustration, and it's an analogy, it has its limitations. Imagine Captain America. You know, in Project Rebirth, that's what they named it. It's such a fitting name, Project Rebirth, for my analogy anyway. Cap, or Steve, started off as a weak human being, a short guy, a soldier. He had right intentions, he had good intentions and good moral values, and he was injected with a super soldier serum in this chamber, and he came out Cap. But what I want you to know is, the Christian transformation, what Paul was describing, the old and the new, is not Steve becoming Cap. See, if you take the villain of any Marvel, that's what Paul's saying. He's not even a human being to begin with. Like, I know, like, if you are just a complete fan of Marvel, you may argue that this man has his right intentions, but just for now, just come with me. This guy is just completely evil. He has no good intentions. He's not a human being. He just wants to wipe out everybody. And Paul's saying, you put him in his chamber, he's going to come out as Captain America. Then there is no more need for Iron Man, no more need for Avengers. Just create a bunch of these chambers. Put everybody in them. And what Paul is saying is this. You put a completely broken and a wretched creature into this chamber and you inject him. He has to receive it. The Holy Spirit. And you shine onto him light, gospel, hope. And what comes out is a person completely perfect, all righteous and holy, like God. Don't you want to put these people in chambers? You see, church is here to make a new person, new humanity, not just nicer people. Apostle Paul explains this in another book, same concept. If anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation, new man, new humanity, not better. New. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And so here we are thinking that church is here to solve a problem, solve global warming, solve famine, solve gender struggles, equality, education, relationship problem, make people happier, healthier, make people better, make people nicer. But Jesus is saying the purpose of the church is not to solve the problems of humanity, it's to create a new perfect humanity. Create a new group of people that are so reflects God's perfection and righteousness and holiness that it gives hope to the people around us. And it tells people that, in fact, the world is not doomed. The world is not just stuck in this darkness and it can never come out. And so we believe the church is the hope of the world because no other institutions in this world creates a new perfect humanity. No other place does this. And so I don't know where this message lands with you. But I want to speak to those of you that you're on the side that you think, okay, I get what you're saying. I think I agree. And the other group is like, okay, I'm not fully convinced. If you're not fully convinced, just keep coming. Maybe this chamber would do something to you. But if you are on the side that, okay, I'm convinced, I want to spell out what this means to you. Two things. The first one is very simple, and we'll elaborate a little bit more on this in the sessions to come. The first thing you can do is if you think the world needs the church, then bring the world here. If you think your friend needs to go from the fourth or this left column to this right column, bring them here. That's very simple. We'll elaborate a little bit more on that later. But the second one is where I want to spend the rest of the time today. Is do you need the church? And if you think you do, I'm going to spell this out for you in a maybe too practical way, too tangible way. And this is for you again. This is for you who says, I want to experience this. I want to have the complete brokenness all the way up to the new, to perfect. I want that. You says, I look at those columns and I want that to happen. I don't know how this is going to happen. I don't know what this actually looks like for you. I don't even know what brokenness I have, but I just want it. And if that's you, I want to spell out a practical implication. And it's simply this, that you come to this church with an attitude to be transformed. You come to this church treating like this, and if we go with the analogy again, a transformation chamber, if you will. And I'm going to contrast this with other things. And hopefully, by contrasting this with other things, this attitude with other attitudes, you will get what I mean. Starting from here. Say, for example, 5 p.m., 5:30 p.m., you're thinking, oh, do I want to come to the service today? Or maybe, oh, I have something busy to do, and maybe I'll finish this first, and I'll just go in a little bit late. You see, if a person coming into a service sees this place not as a transformation place, not as a church, but they see it as what? An entertainment, a movie? A moviegoers will be late. Moviegoers will skip the front because there's just a bunch of commercials. But you know who won't be late? A person who's so serious about this, that this is the place I get changed. This is a place that I get to be transformed. He says, I don't want to miss any part of this. I don't want to miss any part of God. And in fact, I want to come early. I'm going to prepare myself for what I'm going to go through. Seeing this as a place to be transformed, a chamber of transformation. Say, for example, worship. 6 p.m., the music starts, and then you have music coming, and Pastor Carson says, oh, why don't you lift on your hands? Oh, why don't you sing a little bit louder? If you didn't see this place as a place for transformation, and in fact, you see this place as watching The Voice, criticizing, then what you would do is you would start to comment, oh, the music, I don't like the music today. Oh, the drums are a little too loud today. Oh, the person is singing off pitch today. Or maybe even worse is you start to see this as going to a concert, and even worse, a concert you don't like. Your sister dragged you to Olivia Rodrigo's concert, and you're like, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here. I don't want to sing any of this. I'm so embarrassed, and that is what you would do if you came here and saw this as a concert. But hey, if you came in with a place, this is the place where I get transformed, then you would say, I'm going to learn this thing anyway. I'm not comfortable. I'm going to try to learn it because worship is a way in which God's word enter into my heart and enter into my mind and transform me. And then you go to the sermon, and pastors talk for a long time, and you're bored. And if you didn't come here seeing this as a place for transformation, what you will do is maybe you'll come here and start judging. You'll come here and start like, oh, this, you know, I don't like how he says this. I don't like how he says this. Oh, he's talking too long. He's too boring. Captain America doesn't say this, doesn't do this. Or maybe it's like, oh, I'm so bored that I'm just going to bring out my phone. So Valorant, Fortnite, whatever the thing that you do on your phones nowadays. And you know what that means is you're coming in seeing this as a place of education. Because isn't that what you do in lectures anyway? Just bring out your phone, bring out your computers, and start playing Fortnite on it. I've seen it. I haven't done it. Or you come here and seeing this as a place for a workshop. Because if you go to a workshop and you start to judge, oh, this is important information. Let me write this down. Oh, I don't like how he's saying this. So maybe I shouldn't put this in. But if a person sees this as a place of transformation where I go from the old into the new, I would treat every single word of God as God speaking to me. Listening attentively, taking notes, not because you get tested on it, that is school, but because you want to pay more attention. You want to remember things. You don't want to forget. And people start asking you to serve. Like, can you serve? Can you join a serving team? If you see this as a place of volunteering, then you see, yeah, I'm doing you a favor, but I'm busy today. I'll stop. I'm busy today. I can't come. But if a person sees this as a place of transformation, they will see, I come here to serve. I am learning what it means to live practically, to put off the old, literally, to do something I don't like doing, to put others first. Well, about dinner? We're going to have dinner later. You know what you do at a dinner? If you see this as a restaurant, you can eat with your own, and this is what we're comfortable doing. Eat with your own, eat with your friends. Chill with them, hang out with them. And if a person sees this as a place of transformation, then maybe I should start over this meal to talk to this person that I've never met before. Oh, I see this guy out there in the corner on his own. Maybe I should go talk to him. We have food. We have some common topic. Last one, Oikos. Small group. If a person comes to Oikos as a place that's like a social gathering, a pub, a friend hangout event that you don't even want to be here, then guess what? You're not going to show up at 7:30. Because that's what friends do. Sometimes you don't want to be here, then you don't have to be here. I'm sick. I don't feel good. But if a person coming in sees, this is a place of transformation. I can put into practice what God means, what God tells me to care about other people, to love other people, to pray for other people. Maybe it will be a bit different. And so all I'm saying is this. Start with the attitude. This is a place to be transformed. This is a place where disciples are made. New human beings are made. And so we'll come back to the question. Why do you need the church? Why does the world need the church? You need the church because you want to be different. You want to be new. You want to be perfect. And the world needs the church because the world needs to see the hope and the light that there is when new human beings come out of this place and they look at them and they go, who are those people? They have such life and love and joy and passion. And I tell you, no other organizations, no universities in this world, no institutions can do what we do here. And so this is why Jesus says this. Jesus tells you, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. You are a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. And people don't put light a lamp and put it under a basket, but put it on a stand and gives light to all in the house. And so in the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works, they may see your new humanity, and give glory to God your Father. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, sometimes we do come in and we treat this as a movie theater, as a pub, as a restaurant, as a school. God, we confess that sometimes we let ourselves go into here, not knowingly. We don't mean to. But God, help us to start seeing this place as a place where new human beings are made. Start valuing the process of that transformation, the source of that transformation, which is you and which is your words and your community. Help us to put off the old self and to put on the new. Help us to start seeing this community becoming newer and newer and newer every single week. And may we be encouraged by each other's newness. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.